I'm going to give you a brief update on the RBTN. Many of you all know about this trial. Some of you may not. Give you an overview. The trial was started in 2002. We get a wide area of testing from the easternmost location in North Carolina all the way out to California in some years, not all years, but we try to span the U.S. cotton belt if possible. It encourages a germplasm exchange, and it kind of formalizes that, makes it a little easier between the participants. Some of your material, if it's not easily screened in your particular location, can be screened for certain diseases that someone else might see, and that's a regular occurrence. Many eyes observe the material. You're not only looking at your own material, but you're looking at other folks and vice versa. And it makes for a fairly fun trial to walk through with your colleagues if you're in a good mood. It's nominal cost. You know, when you plant 5 acres, to plant a little bit more, you know, or whatever, however many acres you're planting, it's a fairly nominal cost to add this trial for each of the participants. We are in the process of working on a universal MTA that's in progress. That's been sent around to each of the participants. USDA and several universities have signed off on that. And again, what that allows is exchange of germplasm, and it's formalized in it, and it relieves some, hopefully will relieve some paperwork for the participants. And the last line shown there is the website, and it's called cottonrbtn.com. I'll repeat that again, cottonrbtn.com. So if you clicked on that website, this is what you would see. This is a little bit different. Dr. Wallace updated this throughout 2009, and if you look on your left-hand side in that little blue box, it says RBTN Participant Tools, and then there's some links under that, and also on the right-hand side, test results. And I'm going to keep referring back to this particular screen several times in this brief talk. If you clicked on this thing, that little error won't pop up on your screen, but I want to say if you clicked on the 2009 protocol, this is the sort of information that will be available to you. General and specific notes that the group has decided upon, deadlines in terms of shipping seed around, data, et cetera, et cetera, all sorts of data. Anybody that runs trials knows there's, if you set deadlines, it's better than just letting those things float. Bowl sampling instructions, fiber testing, information, there's data templates, and there's an analysis of data as all. So that's kind of the summary. If you go back to that screen again, you click on that data template, this is typically what you would see. I'm going to turn to my left to be sure it's in. Yeah, it's as in poorly in focus here as it is on my screen. But what this is a typical Excel template that's shown. This is 2009, and the various locations the trial was run on. You click on each of those things, and there would be a template specific for that location. It's listed Alabama, Texas, and the various locations, and then there's just for instance, in 2009, we had a vert trial that material was screened at, and there's a template for that as well. Again, going back to that home page, if you click on that fiber submission data, if you clicked on that link, it would go to our site at Cotton Incorporated, and we try to make this as simple as possible. If you have any suggestions, holler at me. But over on the right hand side, inside that little box, is the information specific to how we want fiber samples sent to us. Our objective is to get the data to you as soon as possible. Well, that requires you sending us the fiber samples in somewhat of a standardized format. It tells you about, you know, how to package and label, et cetera, et cetera. And then the third note there, I said why bad samples are bad. Sometimes it's good to not only tell you how to do it, but now how not to do it. And then there's actually submission form that when you fill out that form, it's sent to a couple of us at Cotton Incorporated. And there's a locations link, and that's typically what would be shown. That varies somewhat from year to year. We're hoping to add some locations. There's interest in expanding it, not only within those areas, but beyond those areas. So again, California is not shown, for this particular year because they didn't grow the trial. That's still a possibility. There's a possibility of us adding it in the state of Virginia, Oklahoma, and then within the areas, there's people interested to expand our data set. Obviously, when you expand locations, it requires a little bit more seed, but the request is to get as many locations as possible. If you want to participate and you're not, I would probably suggest you contacting Dr. Wallace or myself. It's actually better, I'll just say contact Dr. Wallace, and it relieves me of the pressure. If you look on the right-hand side, typically what you'd see on data results, this is, if you clicked on the link, this is what it would show. In cell A5, there's a Google map, which you saw previously. There's agronomics and GPS coordinate information, and the overlocation, the yield location by specific sites across the country, and then the specific locations, and you see people's names over there on the far right-hand side. For instance, Dr. Myers runs the site at Alexandria, Louisiana, et cetera, et cetera. And then at the very, very bottom, the VERT trial templates and data is shown. If you clicked on an overlocation analysis, this is a typical analysis template that you would see. This is the 2008 results. We're trying to make this timely as possible, so we're pushing to get data in, get it analyzed, and get it online as soon as possible. In the first, this is the varieties ranked by lint yield in pounds per acre from highest to lowest. You'll see in cell A6, Delta Pine 393, it was the highest yielding. Everything with the same color is statistically within an LSD, and so that's where the blue bars come, I mean the blue cells colors come from. And then the highest ranking or the best for whatever particular trait, if you look at lint percent, the one down there at the bottom had the highest lint percent, and it's blue. So that's the explanation of the color of the particular cells. But that's typical for what Dr. Wallace would post online. If you went back to yield by location, clicked on that, again, this is somewhat the same format. It's actually sorted in the same order, but if you look across, there's the overlocation analysis and then the individual location analysis, and that's fairly typical that you if you haven't participated in the trial, you might very well do this, use this approach as well. And what I want to do is thank the people that participate in the trials. There's a list of people. Some maybe have participated in the past, or we anticipate in the future. And you all know Dr. Wallace, but I want to. Ted does a lot of gets a lot of grief for this and has to put up with a lot of emails from me about timeliness of data and stuff. And he does a good job. And what we're trying to do is make this the data as current as possible, get it available as quickly as possible. So. I went through it quickly. I told you I would. So if you had any questions, I can answer them. I saw a hand, but Max?
How does location differ from the variety
test? You ask how are our locations different than the high quality test? I didn't hear which. Some of the locations are in common. This material is the breeder select their latest material that hasn't oftentimes has not been tested in a wide area test, and select it. And there's no fixed number of entries they can put in. It's kind of an unspoken number, but there's nothing hard and fast. But there's a lot of overlap between them. Roy? I should have mentioned that. Most of the seed, I can't say 100%, but most of the seed is produced in Arizona in the same year. The breeders are participating in a seed increase program that we're happy to support. So most of these entries, I can't say 100%. If you, if people that are participating want to say, I would say over 90% are probably produced in Arizona. Is there anyone putting seed in the trial that's not produced in Arizona? That might be the easiest way to ask, or maybe you don't want to own up to it. But we try to eliminate the seed source issue in terms of testing. Thanks for reminding. That's a good question.
So now this site is publicly available, or is it patent protected?
No, it's publicly available. You can go to it and have at it. And some data, Ted, you can probably comment on the how much data is you have now and when you expect it to be posted. Care to?
For
2009. And I'm pushing the group, and they're, you know, doing a great job in improving that time and making as timely as possible. And we needed to do it on our end for the fiber quality. We're analyzing, and the fiber quality is all done by Cotton Incorporated, and so we try to eliminate that potential source of variability where those differences might occur as well between different labs. So we try to do all that, and we tried to speed that process up as well.
Do you try to keep checks over years?
Yes. If you ask me what the hard and fast rule is, I'm going to say speak to the participants. I don't think there is a hard and fast rule, but there's typically three. Two over years as much as possible.
But they're all conventional, and that kind of limits what you can use as checks.
Right.
Okay, let's thank Don again.